number of years ago, when we started doing foster care and adoption, we started with little kids, two-year-old, baby, three-year-old, really little ones. And then a little while later, we got some older ones, a 7, 8, and a 10-year-old. And these kids were like big to us. In our minds, they were like, wow, like nearly grown up, because a 10-year-old's a lot bigger than a two-year-old. Well, we kind of handled it poorly. They weren't quite as mature as we thought they were. I went to work one day, and I get a phone call. My wife says, Jeff, don't be mad at me. Now, when you get a phone call like that, you know something bad's going down. I said, why? What happened? And she's like, I lost the kids. I was like, what do you mean you lost the kids? She's like, I don't know where they are. I sent them to a park. It's like 6 blocks from our house. And they're gone. They're not at the park. They're not around. I don't know where they are. I was like, oh, my goodness. Okay, well, go look for them. And so I start bolting home, driving home as fast as I can. She's out looking for them. A lady, a neighbor, calls us and says, hey, three kids, they say they're supposed to be with you guys. We're like, yes, don't let them go anywhere. We'll be right there. So Meta goes over to the lady's house. Kids are gone. She's like, where'd the kids go? And the lady said, oh, they left. I'm like, why'd you let them go? I don't know. I don't know why, but they left and they kept walking around. We had no idea where they were. So it's more than 45 minutes now. We've lost these kids. We called the police. The police are driving up and down the streets in our neighborhood. My wife and I are freaking out. I'm in my car. I'm driving all over like a crazy man. Finally, I decided to go in the complete opposite direction that they should have been in. And you know, this is where I find them, right? It's like almost a mile away from our house in the opposite direction. I see them walking down the sidewalk. I pull up beside them. I jump out of the car. I'm like, hey guys. And they look at me and they're like, ah! And they walk over and they're like, are we in trouble? Are you mad at me? I'm not mad at you. We're terrible parents. I feel bad for you. Like, this is Orphan Sunday. We're talking, churches across the world right now, today, are talking about orphans, adoption, and foster care. Like I said, my wife and I have been doing this for a number of years now. We've adopted 5 kids. We've had between 50 and 60 foster kids. We've got a couple more at our house right now. So we have 7 kids at our house right now. It's crazy. But today, we're going to talk about what I think is the pinnacle of expressing God's love. Okay, we're going to talk about adoption. We're going to talk about foster care. No matter where you're at right now, if you're single, if you're married, if you've lost your kids to the system, this can apply to you, because we're going to see how important it is. Then we're going to get to the end. We're going to talk about what exactly you can do about it, no matter what your situation is. But I want you to understand that I don't think this is just one way to show God's love. Okay, I think this is like, if you had a mountain, this would be sitting at the mountaintop of Christ's love. And my hope is today that some of you will choose to adopt. As some of you choose to do foster care. You don't have to do that, but you have to do something. When I was a kid, I was growing up, and I always actually was scared that I was adopted. Did anyone else ever have this fear? Yeah? Okay. Like, I would, like, go, wait a minute. What if my parents are lying to me? Maybe I'm adopted. It's like I would go to, like, my baby books, and I would flip to the pages that where I could see myself being born. Did you guys do this too? Yeah? Okay. So I would, like, see, I wasn't adopted. Then I'd be like, but wait, maybe that's not me. Maybe that's some other kid. Maybe they, like, kidnapped me and adopted me. Like, I had this weird, I had this weird thing going on, and I thought adoption was, like, second best. Like, it was second rate. But do you think that's what God thinks about adoption? I want you to grab your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, okay? If you got a Bible in your chair, you can grab the one right in front of you. It's page 947. If you got your phone, you can flip there on your phone too. Page 947, it's chapter 1. You see the big one here? You just go down there and you find a little 4. That's verse 4. All right, before I read this verse, I'm just going to pray that God will speak to us today. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'll speak to us, speak clearly through me, help my voice to be strong. I pray you'll give us open hearts and make us ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. I know normally, like, I'm yelling, I'm kind of going crazy, and today you might be able to tell I'm losing my voice, so I'm not going to yell as much as normal today. So even if I'm talking quiet, just know I'm still really passionate, okay? Just going to have to trust me on that one, even though I'm not yelling like normal. All right, verse 4, a guy who wrote this, his name's Paul, he was a prophet, and he says this, "For God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Okay, let's write it down. Let's just write down what we read, basically. We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. All right? Now, what existed before the world? Before the universe, what was there? There was God, and what else? Nothing. God created ex nihilo. Okay, it's this cool phrase. It means out of nothing. So I just go ahead and grab nothing, and once you've got nothing, make something with it. Good luck, right? Because nobody can make something out of nothing. Well, God saw nothing, and he goes, you know what? I want there to be something. So exist, and the universe just boom, big bang, just leapt into existence because God told it to exist. And so God made something out of nothing. But before the universe existed, there was something else other than God. Did you see what it was in verse 4? Look again. There was something that existed before the universe began other than God. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. He what? He chose us. Listen, did God know that you were going to be born, that you're going to screw your life up and need his help? God knew that way before he created the world. God also had a plan to fix it before the creation of the world. He knew we were going to sin. This is not an accident, okay? This is the blueprints for our church right here, okay? Here's the sanctuary. Here's the kids area, the nursery. You can see your lobby up here, right? There was a lot of planning that went into building this church. You're talking details. You're talking hundreds of hours of work by multiple. This is like one of a dozen pages. I mean, this thing even talks about like the schedule about when the toilets are going to be installed, about how many inches tall the quarry tile is, what types of bedrock we're putting down, remove existing window, replace the new energy efficient unit to match the existing 4-inch, 6-foot, 11.5-inch. I mean, like, it's just ridiculous amount of detail. Every detail about this building was planned before we started. Do you think God's plan for you is less than this architect? Do you think God's maybe a better planner or a worse planner than the person who designed this building? I want you to look at Acts 17. It said, from one man, God made every nation of the human race to inhabit the entire earth. Now, here's what's important. God was determining their set times and the fixed limits of the places where they would live. Okay, so God determined when and where you would live and I would live and each nation would exist. And he said, why? So that they would search for God and perhaps grow up around and find him. This takes major effort and major planning. Would you call it an accident that you're here today? I hope not, because it's not. God designed the world with nations fixed in certain places in certain times with certain people who came to this country long time ago. Okay, my ancestors came to this country on the Mayflower. They were one of those people who came over on the Mayflower. Then they landed here. They started doing things. We had an adoption of my family. Got adopted by a guy who signed the Declaration of Independence. Then then there's birth. Then there's me. Your family came over here. You were probably Russian. And so you came over here from your Russian descendants. And then you lived in Canada for a while. And then you moved down here. And then you did whatever your family did. And somehow all of us have ended up in this same room here today by God's plan. And God put you where you are, with who you are with, so that you are most likely to turn to him and find him. Where you are is not an accident. All that planning was for one purpose. Look at verses 4 and 5 again. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Listen, in love he predestined, okay, he determined ahead of time, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God chose to adopt us. When God had this big plan for the human race and how God was going to work out you coming to church and you finding God, he calls that adoption. You being adopted into God's family. Let's write this down. God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. I mean, the blueprints for this church are nothing compared to God's cosmic plan. And Jewish theologians thought and would describe God's plan as like this climax of history world history was moving towards this mountaintop experience, where at the very pinnacle of the mountaintop, Jesus Christ was redeeming us. God would fix every problem of sin for all mankind for all time. This very top, the very pinnacle of all creation, was where history is moving towards. And God chose to describe that with the word adoption. I want you to imagine our spiritual state without Jesus. Okay, so some of you don't know Jesus yet. All right, some of you are still on your way to hell. Without Jesus, we are slaves to our sin. Can't get out of it. Can't get past the guilt of it. We have no spiritual father who puts his arm around us and says, I love you, I've forgiven you. But God's plan from the very beginning was to save you, to do whatever he could to save you. It was not merely a response to Adam and Eve's sin, right? It's not like God was going along his day and he's like, wow, I made a really good world. It's perfect. Then I made Adam and Eve and like, oh, wow, look, Adam's going over. Well, why are they talking to the devil? Oh, no, they messed my plan up. And then their son killed their other son. And then you were born. And then you had kids. You had another kid. Right, like, and God wasn't like, oh my gosh, they just ruined my plan. I know what I'm gonna do. Okay, here's what we're gonna do. It was gonna be a perfect world, but it's not quite perfect anymore. So don't worry, I'm gonna dispatch the angels with duct tape. And what they're gonna do is okay, Jesus, I'm gonna need your help on this one. I know you were just gonna hang out in heaven, but I think instead of doing that, like, you should come and you should totally like die. On a, where'd my duct tape go? Yeah, you should totally die, Jesus. What, you're thinking quick and painless death? Yeah, I'm thinking more like worst torture ever. You know, that might work, Jesus. So we're gonna do that because, see, it's gotta be that way because, there. Okay, guys, don't worry, everybody. I have a plan. Is that how God's plan for the world worked? No, come on, man. When Jesus came to earth, it's because he knew everything you'd ever done from before you even existed. And he said, I love that person and I'm gonna pay for their sin no matter what they've done. He saw it all, he saw it all. And he still had a plan to pay for your price. Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery leading again to fear. No, it says you received the spirit of, there's that word again, adoption, by whom we cry, Abba. Father. That word Abba from their language actually is the word for daddy. Not God, not father, but daddy. Look, that's the spiritual reality of our souls. We've been adopted out of our sin. God saw it coming. He fixed it for us. He brought us into his family and we can call him daddy. But there's the other reality that there are children in the world today who not only don't know God, but they don't have a physical family. They have no one to call daddy, no one to call mommy, and they never have or haven't for a long time. My family likes to ride four-wheelers. Last week, we went four-wheeling, and it often happens there's a crash. And there was again this time. So Simeon, my six-year-old, was going off this jump. Boom, he would hit it and fly. And then JJ, my 10-year-old, is not going to be outdone by a six-year-old. So he starts going faster, and boom, he hits the jump. Well, you know how boys get, sometimes girls too, and they would hit it harder and faster. And so I've got my camera, and I'm shooting some pictures over here. And then I hear JJ's motor just like totally take off to the point where like you know he's going to wreck and maybe die. And so I did what every father would do. I took my camera and pointed at his direction. And he hit the jump. You want to see the picture? It was pretty fast, so it's not a great picture, but it's you can see him starting to jump and the whole four-wheeler just boom, but that was like the third tumble or something. I took the first picture. This is actually what happened, okay, literally. I see him start to go off, so I'm like, no, I take the first picture, and then I take a second picture, then he starts to wreck, and I put the camera down, and I'm like, why am I putting it down? I put it back up and take that picture on the right. So that was a few tumbles later. So then I put the camera down, and I've told two really bad stories about my parents ability so far, and you guys are like, it's a good thing he's not the kids director. But put the camera down, I run over to JJ, I'm like, are you okay? And he's starting to stand up. He's like, yeah, I'm all right. And I was like, don't move, no, stay there, stay down. And I talked to him, I'm like, are you okay? I want to make sure he's okay, because that's what families do for each other, right? What about the kid without a parent? What's going to happen to them when they wreck their bike? Who's going to run over them and be like, are you okay? Or are they just going to wreck? There's going to be nobody there. What's going to happen to the girl who turns 16 and she's got some guys hanging out with her, trying to get with her, and they're pulling up in the driveway and they're honking the horn like, come on out? And who's going to say to her, no, no, no. If he wants to take you out, he doesn't honk his horn in the driveway. He comes up here and he meets me. Who's going to wrestle with a little kid on the ground? Who's going to lift up that girl in the air and swing her around, right? I mean, who's going to do these things to these kids? Look, if we have been adopted by God, and that's the pinnacle, the highest point in all human history, and that was God's grand cosmic plan, how can we go, God, thank you for this grand cosmic plan, and then look at the fact that there's kids who don't have families and go, wow, that sucks for them. See, adoption and foster care are a mirror to what God has done for us. So when we say it's at the pinnacle of God's love, we're saying it mirrors exactly what God did for you. When you were in your sin, when you were in trouble, when you were in pain, God stepped in and died for you. And adoption and foster care says, when these kids are in pain, when they're in need, I'm going to step in. I'm going to do whatever I can to help them. What did Jesus say about this? Well, you know, Jesus was super important. So when he's walking around, people are like trying to get the kids away from him. Okay, kids, stay away. This is Jesus. He's super important. And here's what Jesus did. This is Mark chapter 9. He took a little child and had him stand among them, taking him in his arms. Okay, like, so Jesus picks up the little kid, right? He's taking the kid in his arms. He says to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. That's God. So Jesus says, to whatever extent, like, you welcome these children in my name, you are welcoming God into your life too. Let's write this down. To whatever extent we welcome children in Jesus' name, we are welcoming Jesus himself. Jesus basically says, I take personally how you treat them. Now, I want to be clear about something. We have a lot of families in here who do foster care. A lot of you were in foster care when you were kids. A lot of you have had kids in foster care, or your kids are in foster care. Maybe your kids were even adopted. Either you were a biological family and someone else adopted them, or you adopted your kids. I want to be clear here that what we're talking about is for all of us, okay? Sometimes someone will come to me and be like, hey, have you ever thought about talking and maybe doing foster care stuff at Revolution Church? I'm like, have we ever thought about it? We have foster parents, we have foster kids, people were foster kids and are now adults, and we have people whose kids are in foster care. What do you mean have we ever thought about it? We are the foster care system at Revolution Church. Like, that is who we are. And I think people understand science, but I want to make this clear. Maybe you have a kid who's in foster care. Maybe you've lost your rights to a kid, and you're here today, and right now you're feeling guilty. I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to know that God has a plan for you too, right? This wasn't God's plan for you. You didn't screw it up too much. God knows what he's doing in your life. And we have a thing around here that we like to say. It's called Jude 2. Can you say it with me? Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Mercy, more than you can imagine. Love and peace, forgiveness, beyond what you can comprehend, right? Nobody gets thrown away in God's kingdom. Maybe the world, maybe a judge looked at you and said, you're not fit yet, right now. But God looks at you and says, I got a plan. And our church looks at you and says, God has a plan. We want to help you, okay? We love you no matter what your situation is here right now. I just want to make that absolutely clear. We love everybody. Can we just say amen to that? We love everybody? Amen? Look, now this sermon is about orphans and foster kids, so I want to get back to that. But what are we going to do about these kids who have nowhere else to go, who've been ripped out of their homes? Their families' maybe rights have been severed. There's a psalm that explains what God does with orphans. It's kind of an interesting one. It says this. Sing to God, sing praise to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. Now we're going to come back to that cloud thing. It means something. I'll tell you in a minute. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. Let's write this down. God's desire is to set the lonely in families. That's what it said. that he's a father to the fatherless. So God wants to set the lonely in families, he even wants to help the fatherless through me, through you. And I want you to circle on your outline, circle that where it says through me, because that's the big deal, okay? God wants to use you. When God wants to send an orphan into a family, Jesus doesn't come down and go, hey, you orphan, I got a little compound over here. It's called Jesus Playground. You want to come with me? No, he looks at you and he says, I've told you in my word that you're supposed to do this. I put you here for a reason. God has a plan for them, and that plan involves you. Now let's get back to this verse, okay? Psalm 68, where it says the thing about riding on clouds. Okay, verse 4, it says, God rides on the clouds. Now, what's interesting is when this verse was written, there was a false god named Baal. People would worship Baal. And Baal was said to have ridden on the clouds. So when they said, God rides on the clouds, our God rides on the clouds, this was like a direct confrontation to Baal. You say, okay, who's the real God? Is it Baal or is it the Lord? He says, well, our God rides on the clouds. And here's the deal with Baal. Baal was a fertility god. So that people thought Baal made people pregnant. And so when it says, yeah, our God rides on the clouds and his name is the Lord, not Baal is what it was saying. And guess what? You're Baal. You think it makes people pregnant? Well, guess what? Our God is a father to the fatherless. Our God sets the lonely in families. In other words, oh, you think it's nice that your little God can help people get pregnant? Guess what? Our God not only helps people get pregnant, our God takes lonely people and puts them in families. Our God is a father to the fatherless. Take that, Baal. All right? God had a plan. God has a plan for every person who doesn't have a home. You know, we had two foster kids that the agency brought to us, and they asked us if we would be willing to adopt them. So they're super cute kids. I think they're like 3 and 4. And our natural inclination is to say yes. So when they say, hey, will you take a kid? Our natural response is to say yes, because God has said to do this. And if God says to do it in the Bible, then we do it, unless there's a really good reason not to, or unless God tells us not to. So they'd given us these two kids for the weekend to kind of meet them, and wanted to know if we should adopt them. So we're thinking about it, we're praying about it, and we take these kids to McDonald's. They're so cute. Girl with her kind of reddish hair, and they're just playing up in the play area. I'm just looking at them. And then this lady comes in to McDonald's and says, so are those your kids? What do you say at that point? Oh, kind of. I was like, well, you know, they're in foster care. Like, we're considering adopting them, but I don't know what we're going to do. And she's like, wow. And I left. I'm like, so are they my kids? What am I going to do about this? So I'm praying and praying. It felt like God said no. No, they're not yours. So we let them go back to where they came from. Kind of heartbroken, you know, because like you hate to say no. And they went back. A few months later, I go to a foster care meeting. I walk in the room, open the door, and I see a lady down at the end of the table. And I'm like, man, I've seen that lady somewhere before. I come and I sit down, and I'm kind of looking at her. I'm like, well, I know where I've seen her. She was that lady in McDonald's a few months ago who asked me about those kids. Like, I know this is that lady. And at that moment, this door swung open, and this little girl with kind of reddish hair comes running in. It was the girl who we had had. She runs right by me. She jumps in this lady's lap, says, Mommy, and throws her arms around the lady's neck. The lady had seen the kids at McDonald's, went home, and called the adoption agency and said, I want them. She was adopting them. I can say with confidence that God wanted me at McDonald's that day. You can't say that very often. Right? Because God has a plan. He has a plan for you, and he's a plan for orphans, and he's a plan for what you're supposed to do with them. Right? You're supposed to help somehow. Not everybody's supposed to adopt. Not everyone's supposed to do foster care, but we got to do something because God has told us to do something. Look, this is James 1:27. It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, okay, the type of religion God wants, is to look after orphans. That's what God wants from us. Let's write it down. Our responsibility is A, to look after orphans, to care for them. Right? Look after means legally, emotionally, with our homes, with our hearts, with our hands. You see an orphan at school, stand up for them. Seen a kid who's in foster care? You know, they've had it hard enough. Sometimes the kid's going to act out. Okay, fine. We understand where they came from. Let's love them anyway and not be disappointed in their behavior. Another verse is Psalm 82. Defend them. Okay, defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Let's write it down. So it's to rescue the weak and needy, meaning we step into their situations and we make a difference. When you rescue someone who's drowning, do you say, hey, swim over here and I'll help you? No. You jump in after them or you throw them something, right? You go to their situation. With these kids, we go into their situation. We don't hope they get close enough to them. We go find them. We get involved. The next verse, Deuteronomy 24, says, when you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Okay, this is a law in the nation of Israel. This is a law they had to abide by. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Okay, so when they picked grapes and they missed some, they weren't allowed to go back for them. This was their law for the fatherless, for the widows. They had to leave them there so that there's something to eat for the poor people. Actually, this is God's word. God's word says, here's what to do with your money. Number one, first of all, you give to God and you give with ridiculous generosity. That's the very first thing we do. The second thing is we take care of ourselves. But then the third thing we do is we make sure there's some money left over to be able to help people who are in need. Let's write this down. We should not use all of our time or money. Let's make it a principle, guys. Not just money, it's time. We shouldn't use all of our time or money. We purposely save some to help orphans or organizations that help orphans, such as churches, people, their families, etc. This is after and beyond our normal giving to church. That's just what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to use all of our money on ourselves. Look, we're fortunate to live in a state where orphans get their basic needs met. And foster parents get assistance, right? You can take children to the doctor. You can take them to school. They'll get fed. Okay, the orphans aren't going to go hungry here in Kansas. But if a foster family or an adoptive family has taken in a number and they want to do more than just the bare minimum, they're going to need help from people who care. So practically speaking, what do you do? Someone sent in this question. What about homeless adults that don't have homes and are at rock bottom? Okay, so similar principles, right? We treat these people the same way. Like we don't use all of our money so that we have some money left over so that we can help them. Similar idea, we treat them with love and respect in the same way. Today's sermon is just specifically about foster kids and kids who need to be adopted. Let's get back to this. So what do we do? You don't have to adopt. You don't have to do foster care, but you have to do something. So here's what you can do. Number one, you can pray for these kids. You can go to adoptkskids.org. You can actually see the kids' pictures. You can pray for them. You can scroll through. You can look at them. You can pray for them. You can even search. If you're like, I want to find 12-year-old boys named Gary, I want to pray for every 12-year-old boy named Gary in Kansas who doesn't have a family. You can do that. Right, number two, you can speak up for them. Tell others the importance. Or even join CASA. CASA is court-appointed special advocate. You actually go into court, you get assigned a child, and then you go to court and you speak to the judge on behalf of that child. Okay, there's these things called guardium ad litem. Every foster kid gets one. They're supposed to advocate for the child, but every guardium ad litem has approximately 3,000 kids on their docket. And so, you know, they don't really know the kids that well, but you as a CASA person can get to know the kids and talk to the judge about specifically what that child needs. Number three, you can provide financially. You give to the church where a portion goes to orphan causes. You can give to the BIC SPICE program. Okay, our denomination is the BIC. They have a SPICE program. A lot of people like Operation Christmas Child. I don't particularly like exporting the worst part about American Christianity to another culture, which is materialism. Right? I don't like just exporting a bunch of trinkets and toys, the worst part about our materialistic culture, into another country in the name of Jesus. I don't like that. But I do like the BIC SPICE program. So this time of year, like, why don't we go like start giving to them? These people have a bunch of kids in, they call it a hostel, which sounds bad, but it's a home where these kids go and live when they don't have anywhere to go, and they are provided food and shelter and clothing and an education. in India, they're raised in these homes. And what's fascinating is two-thirds of these kids who are raised in these hostels, in the BIC ones, end up going into ministry to tell people about Jesus after they graduate. It's a pretty phenomenal program. Number four, you can support those who help the orphans. Okay, you can find a foster parent. You can mow their lawn. You can babysit for them. Hallelujah. Parents, wouldn't that be awesome? Right? You could just babysit for them. You could organize meals for foster parents. Sometimes people have given just gift cards to restaurants or things like that. It makes a huge difference. Have a shower for a family adopting a child of any age. Not just a baby shower, but like a 17-year-old shower, a tweener shower, right? Like, yay, you're adopting a 13-year-old. Here's stuff that dads don't want to talk about their daughters with. I'm moving on. Number five. Become a foster parent. Adopt a child. You can do this. You got to take a MAP class. Just contact St. Francis or TFI. Those are some of the agencies around here. You can review the kids on adoptkskids.org. The MAP class is like 9 weeks long, but you got to do that to adopt a kid out of foster care. It's so worth it. Six, you can mentor and care for them by forming a relationship with a foster or adopted child. This book I was telling you about earlier in the church service, even in here, it says something along the lines of one of the things children need to love Jesus when they become adults is an adult in their life who loves Jesus other than their parents. So that's a really healthy thing. So mentor some of these kids. Pick one. Seven, support and care for birth parents who place or are placing their child with adoptive family or whose kids are in foster care. You know, they need love and support too. Most of the kids who go into foster care go back to their birth families. Their family of origin. So why not support them and care for them, provide for them so that when their child does come back, they are ready. Wouldn't that be awesome? If a child was ready to go home and the child weren't bouncing back and forth. Number eight, attend a PPC training, okay? PPC is Police Protective Custody. This was, my wife and I do this. It's kind of like foster care, but you only have the kids for 72 hours. It's called Police Protective Custody because it's that very first moment when you'll get a phone call, like 1 a.m, your phone will ring, and they'll say, yeah, this is the Salina Police Department. We've got a kid, his name's Greg. We found him wandering the street. He's 3 years old. Will you come get him? And so you're like, whoa, you wake up in the morning, you're like, what is going on? So I drive down to the police station, you pick up this kid, you're walking, and I say, so your name's Greg? No, my name's Johnny. You're like, okay, their name's not Greg, right? Like, It's crazy, the stuff you find out. Like, it's just an amazing thing. My wife and I love it because it's kind of like playing the lottery. You just never know what you're going to get. But you only have them for 72 hours, business day hours. So you don't keep them any longer than that. It's a lot shorter than foster care. So that's a good option. Now, Revolution's going to actually host a PPC training next month. So if you're interested, you might be able to attend that. We'll let you know. You know, there's millions of orphans worldwide. Millions of orphans worldwide. And God has a plan for them. And it doesn't look like this. God has a real plan for them. But you're part of that plan. Sometimes when I hear millions, you know, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do about that? But the reality is in Salina, you know, last year there were just 11 children who needed to be adopted in Salina. This year they told us the number was 3. Then I was on the phone with someone this week and they were like, actually, we're not sure about that number. So we didn't put the number 3 up yet. We're waiting, but let's just face reality. There's tons of families here at Revolution Church. It doesn't matter if that number's 3, 11, or even 100. If there's 100 kids who need to be adopted in Salina, our church could fix that problem by itself. We could fix that problem. God made a plan to adopt you. What plan would you make to share the love of Jesus with these kids? Last thing, 1 John. Let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our actions. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help us to spring into action, whether it's adopting in foster care, or whether it's supporting someone who does it, or whether it's mentoring a kid, whatever people feel passionate about, God, I pray that you'll put this into them so that they will take this home, they will own it, just like you've owned loving us. Pray that you'll use us here at Revolution Church to solve this problem. In Salina, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go care for the orphans and widows.